Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
At this point, we are joined on the line by Dr. Nelson Igaba from Right to Care to talk to us about this sensitive subject of HIV and AIDS. Good morning to you, Dr. Igaba, and welcome to the Adventist World Radio.
Good morning, Brother Tammy, and thank you for having me on your program.
Thank you very much. Just before we talk about the subject that we want to talk about, Dr. Igaba, what is Right to Care all about?
Oh, no, thank you again for having me. As you well said, I'm Dr. Nelson Igaba, a medical doctor by training. Mm-hmm. And a public health specialist, mm-hmm. and an HIV clinician. Mm-hmm. So I work with Right to Care, which is a South African non-for-profit organization, mm-hmm. that was formed in the early 2000s, yes. Specifically in 2001, mm-hmm. by a local professor in infectious disease. Mm-hmm. And his aim was to support the care and treatment of people who are living or affected by HIV. The company has grown since 2001, mm-hmm. to cover largely most parts of South Africa, Southern Africa, and other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. We are majorly funded by American taxpayers' money through the agencies like USAID, CDC, and of course South Africa also funds most of our program through either provinces or the treasury.
Okay. No, that's quite important and quite interesting to hear all that, Dr. Igaba. And do you think that looking at the numbers, I think that they were released either last year or 2 years ago, I think we were sitting at either between 7 million or I stand to be corrected in terms of tested for cases for HIV and AIDS. Do you think that as a nation we are making progress in awareness and people, our mindsets towards this these diseases has actually improved?
Yeah, no, thanks for that question, Tammy. Yes, I would categorically say that South Africa as a country has made very, very great progress in tackling the HIV epidemic locally. Mm-hmm. But let's just remind our listeners of the statistics. Mm-hmm. Looking at the global, we know that globally, according to UNAIDS, we have 39.9 million people, mm-hmm. who are living with HIV as per 2023. Mm-hmm. And 50% of those, surprisingly, they are living in Eastern and Southern Africa. Mm-hmm. So when you compare the populations, you'll understand that really sub-Saharan Africa has the big burden of HIV in terms of the global statistics. Mm. So coming back home, the study that was released by SHRC showed us that we have close to 7.8 million people, mm-hmm. who are living with HIV. Mm. How we measure our success in tackling the epidemic, mm-hmm. we measure it through multiple parameters.
Okay.
One of them is through new HIV infections that we get every year.
Okay.
The other parameter we measure is the number of deaths of people who die due to HIV-related illnesses. Mm-hmm. And of course, the one that we are tracking very critically right now, mm-hmm. is what we call the 95-95-95 UNAIDS target. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? It means that they want every country, mm-hmm. to at least test or know the HIV status of 95% of people who are living with HIV. Mm-hmm. And then among those that have been tested and know their status, 95% of them should be on treatment. Mm-hmm. And then among those that are on treatment, 95% of them should have what we call a suppressed virus.
Okay.
Or undetectable virus. That means that if you have undetectable virus, I mean, they take your blood, they test, they find that they cannot detect the HIV virus. It does not mean that you don't have, you're not living with HIV.
Right.
It just means that the drugs have been able to control it, and you may not be able to transmit to someone else.
Just a question, there, doctor, on the issue of this it being suppressed, that doesn't become a license to become reckless again.
Definitely, it does not become a lesson to become reckless, but science has proven to us that you cannot transmit the virus if it is suppressed. We cannot forget our tools of prevention, and I think we shall come back to that later. Let's maybe just conclude the issue of how South Africa has progressed. From the early days of HIV in South Africa, you are well aware of the controversy that we faced due to some, some political decisions that may not have been favorable at the time to tackle the pandemic. We might have lost a lot of people, and there's been estimates of hundreds of thousands that we could have lost because of some policies that could not favor, aggressive response to the epidemic. So the stride that we have made, as per 2023, 160,000 new infections, new HIV infections were recorded in South Africa.
Okay.
This is reduced from 20 years ago, where we used to record 300,000 or more new infections. So we are not yet there, but there has been a lot that has been done.
Okay.
And there's a lot of, technologies, drugs, interventions that have come in play, and South African government is really applauded for jumping onto new technology, new drugs to ensure that people of South Africa get the best quality care in terms of HIV response.
I think what you're saying there, doctor, talks to the importance of testing for HIV and AIDS. And you mentioned the number that where we are at is at 100,000 something. And a few years ago, we were sitting at 300,000 something. My question there is, number one, the importance of testing. How important is it to test? And there, the difference of between the two numbers, are people getting tested, or does it mean the reduction of the number, does it mean people are running away from testing? Or it's just that people have become more aware of the disease and they're practicing prevention methods?
No, thank you, Tammy. And you are asking a very, very good question there. Knowing your status, knowing your HIV status is very critical. Studies have shown us that those people who get to know their status, they manage their life better. And this is, for me, a call to action to whoever is listening to us, to say, if you do not know your status, this is the time for you to make the decision before you go into the new year. Know your status.
Right.
If you're HIV, if you're living with HIV, you test HIV positive, there is a remedy for that. It's no longer a death sentence to live with HIV, because there have been a lot of progress in terms of drugs, in terms of care, in terms of treatment and monitoring that you can benefit from, and you live longer. Actually, the problem that we are facing now, Tammy, is that people living with HIV are living longer, and they are not dying from HIV-related illness, but are dying from non-communicable diseases like any other person who may not be living with HIV, like diabetes, hypertension. That shows that the ARVs are working and are keeping people longer, that they will not die from an HIV-related illness, but will die from what is killing everyone else in the community. So knowing your status will make you make the right decision. And if you test negative for HIV, we have a package of prevention that you can use to make sure that you remain HIV negative. And we can never run away from the fact that behavior change is a critical role in HIV prevention. And I'll tell you about the other measures. Of course, behavior change, we talk about, stopping risky sexual behaviors, not having multiple sexual partners, stopping to use psycho active substances like alcohol and drug, which can make, you know, which can occlude your judgment in terms of sexual behavior. So critically, behavior change, we need to go back to basics to look into the behavior and change the behavior so that we are able to prevent HIV.
Yes, you could go on, doctor.
Yes, however, there are other methods of preventing HIV that we call biomedical preventions, and they are accessible in all across South Africa for free to the population.
Mm-hmm.
These methods, there are some we call barrier methods,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you can use barriers
mm-hmm.
To prevent, and we have multiple examples. Other methods are like pre-exposure prophylaxis. Before you get exposed, you take ARVs and they will prevent you from acquiring. Then there's post-exposure prophylaxis. Like we doctors who work in clinical setting, sometimes you can prick yourself.
Yeah.
And you are working on someone who is living with HIV. Possibilities of you getting HIV if their viral load is not suppressed is high. So what is critical to prevent you, we give you ARVs that will prevent you from getting HIV after you've gotten exposed. So in conclusion on this one, there are many prevention modalities that are at play that we should use to even reduce the number of new infections close to zero.
Okay, that's good. And there's circumcision also that comes into play there, doctor.
Great, excellent. Yes. So a medical male circumcision is one of the biomedical HIV prevention. Science has proven to us that when someone gets circumcised medically by a trained clinician who knows, you know, who is trained on how to perform the procedure, they prevent the risk of acquiring HIV infection by more than 60%. This is a lifelong benefit, and we encourage men to take up medical male circumcision. But we tell them again, do not be complacent and just say, I'm circumcised, I can go on, do whatever I wish. That's not true. Remember that we are telling you it's a 60% benefit in prevention, in reduction of the risk of acquiring infection. However, there's a 40%. You need to use other methods, including change of behavior, to ensure that you are fully covered in terms of prevention.
That's quite key and quite interesting how science has gone on to discover such things. The other question that I had asked Dr. Igaba was the difference between the numbers in terms of you indicated that a few years ago we were sitting on around 300,000, and now we're sitting in terms of tests and that you were recording. Now the number is reduced to 100,000 something. I did not get the exact number. My question then is that is it that people are running away from getting tested, or is it that people are now practicing safer methods to not to get infected?
Yeah. No, thank you, Tammy. So as per last year, there were 160,000 new infections that were recorded. And sadly is that 60% of these infections were recorded between people 16 and 24. So you can see that we are having young people who are getting infected with HIV every year. And that is actually something that we need to work on as clinicians who are fighting the HIV epidemic, looking for measures to put in place to prevent new infections among this age group. So we have a lot of gaps, and that's what I think you've been asking. We have a lot of gaps. We are not testing enough. We are not reaching the people who are living with HIV. We are testing, yes, but we need to target the people who are at risk of acquiring HIV. And there are people like prisoners, you know, people who men who have sex with men, because their risk of HIV is quite high. So as HIV clinicians, we need to make sure that we differentiate our way of targeting who are we testing, because if you go in a place and you test everybody and you only get one person who is living with HIV, that could be resource wasted while you target it to those people who really are at high risk of, and that is the method that we are using in tackling the epidemic. Right now, the country has declared that they would like to put 1.1 million people on ARVs by December 2025.
Okay.
So there's a gap. There are 1.1 billion people in South Africa who are moving around in the community who are living with HIV. Either they don't know their status or they have not yet been on ART. And the challenge with this is that they continue spreading the infection without their knowledge or because they are not HIV suppressed.
So I think you are highlighting a very crucial gap right there that needs to be covered or filled in. So then the question would be, as a community, I just want to start off by asking and saying, as a community, and secondly, as the Christian movement or whichever faith we are in, how important is it that we participate? Because when we started off, you indicated the partners that Right to Care is working with, and you indicated government. But I also want to believe that the church then and the community play a crucial and important role when it comes to prevention of HIV and AIDS or the spreading of HIV and AIDS. How important is it for us as the church, the Christian movement and the community to participate in these programs of, number one, driving young people and old people to get tested and to give them knowledge?
Correct. Again, this is a very brilliant question, Tammy. We cannot underplay the importance of faith-based organization, Christian community, whatever you call it, in terms of response to tackling the HIV epidemic. To remind you, Tammy, as HIV clinicians, we are hoping that we shall end HIV by 2030.
Okay.
And for us to end HIV by 2030, we have to work with whoever is willing to join the movement. And how can the community, the Christian community or the church organizations help? One is they need to embrace the science.
Right.
We get challenged with some faith-based organization that fail to embrace science. There is data is showing us that, you know, ARVs do work.
Yeah,
people live longer on ARVs. Data is showing us that when you take ARVs and your HIV is suppressed, most likely you will not transmit HIV. You will live a healthy life alone. So we need to first embrace the science so that we are able to teach it to whoever we come across with. We need to rally the community to come for testing, to show them the benefit of testing. Faith-based organizations need to join hands to rally the males to come from medical male circumcision because of its great benefit. Because science, again, is telling us that when you circumcise 80% of males within a community, the rate of HIV infection of that community will reduce considerably. So you can see the importance of the church or the faith-based organization cannot be underplayed here. You know, and through the engagement with the, you know, fellow believers, fellow Christians, let's counsel them through the right path where to get, you know, let's not keep people within within ourselves when they can get medical care at their nearest community. We've seen people who have been in some certain dominion and they have been kept through counseling and the rest when indeed they needed an HIV test and start taking ARVs for them to get a healthy life. We've seen other people where there's their myth where they say that they prayed for the person and the HIV went away, or they drank some water from a certain church and, you know, they were cured of HIV. To us, these remain myths because some of these people have not been proven, you know, scientifically that you have taken away the HIV through drinking some water that have been prayed for.
And I think it's important, Dr. Igaba, that regardless of the faith that we have, it's important to then still go and get tested. And it's important to practice these measures that prevent and also to make sure that we play our part as individuals.
So Tammy, before maybe you come in, I cannot really leave this platform without calling upon my fellow men.
Right.
My fellow men are lagging behind in every aspect of the HIV response. Mm. When it comes to people who get tested, the men are not there.
Yeah.
When it comes to people who get initiated on ARVs, the men are not there.
Mm-hmm.
When you come with people who have suppressed HIV virus, the men are lagging behind. And what does this result into? This results into males being brought to the facilities late when they have advanced HIV disease. And some of these conditions, they become irreversible. And you find a breadwinner is lost because of some delays that or decisions that he took to delay to come for HIV treatment and care. So I'd like to call upon men, as we are entering into the new year, make that resolution that your health will come first.
Yeah.
Be it coming for an HIV test, a prostate screen, a diabetes screen, a hypertension screen, let your health come first.
I like that, Doctor. I like that. And I know you're very passionate about that one, especially as men. Our response to any medical issue has always lagged behind, not to attack men. But, Doctor, what prompts a man to go to get tested? I'm married, Doctor. What will prompt me to go and get tested? Or there's a young man who's not married and he's practicing abstinence from sex. What will prompt him to go and get tested? I've been asking myself this question as you're talking to say, what prompts me to just go and get tested?
Yes. So the first thing is what you are doing, Tammy, and let me thank you for opening this platform for such a difficult conversation.
Mm.
Let's get the right information to men.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to basics. Let the experts in the field get the opportunity to the right information. There are a lot of misinformation out there,
mm-hmm.
and we need to break that misinformation. We need to inform men of the right information, why you should test, what are the benefits, and all the rest. The other thing, I want to use the common words in the community, self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Deciding to go to test is part of self-care.
Okay.
It's part of loving yourself as a man.
All right.
To say, I love myself. Mm-hmm. I want my body. It's like deciding I want to be physically fit,
mm-hmm.
because that's love for self.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the other measures, we as clinicians, we need to tailor our services
mm-hmm.
to fit into the main kind of, kind of way of living. For example, you will not expect a man to come and queue up with children and, and women, not to underplay that there's a problem with children and women, but, an African patriarchal society, you will not find a man come and spend 2-3 hours in a queue, in a crowded facility. So I would like to commend the Department of Health that is now coming up with what we call a men's health services.
All right.
They are coming up with a strategy to say we're going to have facilities
mm-hmm.
where they are 360 one-stop men's health services so that a man can come in, find fellow men, discuss men issues, get all men issues, men screening, all men problems are solved there, including, erectile dysfunction and the rest.
Mm.
So those are differentiated models to reach out to men and to make sure they come for testing.
Mm. I like that. I like that initiative by the Department of Health, Dr. Igaba, because they've caught up with institutions like the Men's Clinic, where I've seen that the Men's Clinic has got a very hidden entrance and there's a lot of privacy in there. And men, it's actually helping men to deal with men issues that they would have generally not dealt with in the past. I think I really should commend the government for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
As we're about to wrap it up, Doctor, do you think this December awareness thing is just enough for us to deal with to because you and I want to ask, is 2030 really? Did you say 2030 you want to have eradicated?
Correct. I say 2030, and I think it's doable. It's doable, Tammy. Mm-hmm. And what measures are we going to look at?
Yeah,
I mean, globally, last year 2023. 1.3 million people got infected with HIV globally.
Okay.
In South Africa, again, as I told you, 160,000 mm-hmm. got infected. So for us to be able to end HIV by 2030, mm-hmm. we need to bring the 160,000 new infection to zero.
Okay.
And I can tell you, Tammy, as scientists, we have the tools.
All right.
We just need to get the response from the community to embrace the tools and we'll end this.
Mm.
So we have an opportunity. The government is on the board. We need everyone mm-hmm. to come on board and end the epidemic. So it is possible. As myself, I believe it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked about the 1st of December being the World AIDS Day globally. Yes, we need that type of reminder.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, I think the reminder should be every day.
Yeah.
Mm. And this should be at the community level. It should not be a political gathering or just drumming up and every day from the grassroots.
Mm.
The counselor should know about it.
Yeah.
The community chief should know about it.
Mm.
The community reverend should know about it. And all those influential people should be drumming up to ensuring that people are tested, people get on ARVs, people stay on ARVs, and people live a healthy life, not, you know, with no risky sexual behaviors.
Mm, mm. No, that's very powerful. And one last thing, Dr. Igaba, does Right to Care collaborate with churches, movements of faith in terms of education, awareness, and all that stuff?
Yes, that is correct. We have other programs that we are running in the Free State, in Thabamphotsanyane and in Mpumalanga and Ehlanzeni. These are HIV prevention, care and treatment programs.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with the faith-based organization. We have with traditional leaders to ensure that, you know, we work together to rally up the community to take up the services.
Mm.
So, yes, whichever faith-based organization is listening to us, they can only reach out to Right to Care. We have a call center number
mm-hmm.
where 082-808-6152 for any information you'd like to know. This is also the same call center we use for men who would like to get circumcised. You just send a please call to this number and then someone will book you in the nearest facility. They can provide you with transport, and then we'll check you there after the circumcision throughout the healing process. Okay. So the number is...
Sorry, we lost you. 082?
082-808-6152.
Mm-hmm.
That's our call center number,
mm-hmm.
especially for men who would like to circumcise. You can send a please call. You don't need even to call. Someone will call you back and book you in a facility near to you where an experienced, trained clinician will take care of you.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dr. Nelson Igaba from Right to Care. And I'm also happy to say Dr. Nelson Igaba is a Seventh-day Adventist member. And it's always good to find our own also working in these spaces and promoting a better health and a better future for us as a community and as a nation. Dr. Igaba, we just want to say thank you very much for coming through to the Adventist World Radio and sharing such powerful insights.
Thank you, Tammy. Thank you for having me. Hope to hear from you again soon. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye. That was Dr. Nelson Igaba giving us powerful insights. And I just want to share that number once again. That number is 082 0800-808-6152. That's the number to you can call to write to CARE for any information on HIV and AIDS and collaboration with them. And also, if you want to get circumcised as a man, I tested it with Dr. Igaba. We shared this number with somebody. They used this number, and this person went through the whole process. They got circumcised. So I can vouch for this line. It actually does work. And quite interesting targets there to say by 2030, we hope as a nation to have eradicated HIV and AIDS. But I think it takes all of us to work together. And I think the mindset that we should be having as a community is to move away from myths to say, you know, if I sleep with a virgin, then HIV and AIDS will go away. If I go and see ugogo bani, then she will heal me or cure me. Sorry for that. We just want to say thank you very much to Dr. Nelson Igaba. And that number, once again, 082-808-6152. That's 802-808-6152. You can call that number and you will get assisted. That number does work, ladies and gentlemen. We tested it with Dr. Igaba last year. We gave the number to somebody, that somebody did that, and they got circumcised. They are healthy, they are walking, they're energetic and all that stuff. So you can use that number. And just an encouragement, ladies and gentlemen, it's December. Please do not be reckless. Do not do what will lead you getting infected. Don't get too excited. New Year's Day can be exciting for a lot of people, and a lot of people can do things that they would generally not do because it's New Year's. So I just want to encourage, and you heard there Dr. Igaba was saying between 16 and 24, that is the most infected age group. So to that age group, please, please stay away. Wait, get, you know, it's coming. That time will come. For now, just enjoy your life, get an education, start working. Stay away from premarital sex. Stay away from anything that exposes you to HIV and AIDS.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.